You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco. This, my friends, is Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something, maybe consider something. Consider history and the arts and all that the arts have to offer. In the background, that's the Red Garland Trio and The Angels Sing. It's from The Best Of, the Red Garland Trio. Speaking of The Best Of, I have two people in here, one virtually, one actually. So you are my analog guest, and Melora, you're my digital guest. So I'm feeling very modern right now. I'd like to welcome from Soma Arts, I'd like to welcome Christian Frank and Melora Green, our very own Melora Green.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So, yeah, it's myself and Christian Flock of Invisible Venues, and it's so great to be on this side of an interview with KPOO and to be with you, Marilyn. I'm so proud of, you know, what we're doing together as a community in the name of making a scene, 50 years of alternative Bay Area spaces. And just thank you so much for having us and allowing us to, you know, speak about this exhibition or this story about what we've all created as a Bay Area community.
Okay. And Christian, how did you come to be associated with this project?
Oh, I was invited by the past curator, Justin Charles Hoover, who has now moved on. And Melora came in after Justin, and Justin was conceiving of this exhibition for a really long time, and then Melora has expanded it to something much bigger and much more inclusive, so it's really very exciting. And my project for the show is my curatorial enterprise, Invisible Venue, which is 10 years old this year. It's a project where I collaborate with artists to produce projects in various public spaces online and in the world.
Okay, and let's tell our listening audience, it's called Making a Scene, 50 Years of Alternative Based Spaces.
Yeah, Bay Area Art Spaces.
Excellent. So, Melora, tell me a little bit about how you came to this particular project, how you decided to develop it.
Yeah, as Christian just stated, you know, this was the brainchild of Justin Hoover, who was the curator at SOMARS Cultural Center before me. And I came on to the project by way of inheriting this amazing story. And, you know, it's a situation where you find a platform that really allows you to serve as a, not so much a gatekeeper, but an avenue for numerous people to tell why alternative spaces are important, how alternative spaces have impacted their art or their skill, or, you know, the people that we discover when we enter spaces like SOMARS Cultural Center or the African American Art and Culture Complex or the Living Room Project in Oakland. You know, what do these spaces do? How do they provide a voice for us? And also, how are these spaces allowing us to create during times like, you know, what we're going through right now? Mm-hmm. And so looking at the social movements, really allowing us to echo the names of people who have gone on but that have courageously opened spaces for communities that are, I hate the word marginalized, but for the sake of this, I'll say that are marginalized.
Or really broke. Kind of, you can say broke.
Hey, okay. Yeah, let's say that too. Not, you know, broke maybe in pocket, but not in spirit. Mm-hmm. And so what I brought to the table was just including more of the social movements and people of color, and just allowing us all to see that we have really done this together. No matter what, you know, your craft is, no matter what your socioeconomic status is, we have all done this together. And I discovered Christian Frock through working, at SOMARS, and I'm just so, humbled to be able to work with people who have said, you know what, I'm going to create my own space, and not only would I create my own space, I'm going to do it in a way where I don't even need four walls. And so that's what Christian has done. I would love to, you know, really give Christian an opportunity to speak more about her project and the artist Tyranny that is participating in this exhibition.
And I do want to hear more about Christian's project, but you brought up a very important point, which is that San Francisco periodically, I would say cyclically, goes through times where people are getting pushed out, and then it's like an ebb and a flow. Sometimes,
yeah,
you know, it's like breathing. Sometimes it inhales the artist, and then it tries to exhale the artist, and it goes back and forth. But there always seems to be that thread of people throughout San Francisco's history who are saying, you know what, if we want to keep San Francisco San Francisco, or if we want to keep it the way what makes it San Francisco, we have to make these alternative spaces possible. So how far back? So you have 50 years. So what do you guys consider like the first incarnation of alternative spaces?
You know, to really address the years, I mean, we actually go, we're saying 1960, but in some of our interviews and conversations with people, we've realized that it really tips into the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I consider that, I think about, which is why I wanted to make sure we had a voice like, you know, Mr. Emery Douglas, and I wanted to include an artist like Nanette Harris, who created a piece that has, like, Cab Calloway. When you look at Bop City and spaces like that that have really provided space for artists to, you know, be seen and connect and really create the rich history that you just mentioned. You know, a lot of the people that are moving into this city, it's really important for us to, as a city, be proud of what we've done and really uphold the things that have made this place really attractive. And what I've found is that, and I've been here for 15 years, but it seems like there's a 10-year cycle. So when you talk about that ebb and flow,
mm-hmm.
it seems like every 10 years there's this surge of a new .com or tech. There's always a name, the gold rush, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, I think it's really important for us to find ways to keep the city responsible for making sure that people maintain house. You know, like, you have to show people how to treat you. And so, you know, when you consider the Mission and the Fillmore, there are certain places you can go where you'll never know, you know, who passed through. And so I think it's really important for us to really look at creating landmarks and continuing conversations, which is what this exhibition is about. And one thing I've said is that we're not professing to be the experts. This is a platform for anyone who comes through the doors to really share what they know so that we can have this collective memory, and a lot of the memories can live on beyond, you know, just the people who have started them and hold them. So to answer your question, we're going back into the, I would say, late 50s, and yeah, just starting there and just really learning more about what alternative space means and the importance of them.
Now, Christian, how long have you been here?
Oh, I've been in the Bay Area most of my life. Okay. I've left a couple of times, but I always end up coming back.
Once you go Bay Area, you can't go back.
Yeah, you always end up coming back. That's right.
So. Okay. So a little bit more about your piece of this alternative puzzle.
So Invisible Venue began, as Melora said earlier, no walls. It was initially a media-based project to show artists. I went to graduate school at Goldsmiths College, University of London, and I was going to be going back a year after I had graduated, and I wanted to intervene with the Frieze Art Fair and represent San Francisco in a way that very few people in London seem to be familiar with the artists. There was not a lot of knowledge about media mm-hmm. coming out of San Francisco, and so in a very short period of time, I discovered the work of Tommy Becker, who's a phenomenal San Francisco artist who had a great website, and he was showing videos online, which was really, at that time, revolutionary. It was ahead of YouTube. And I'm so excited, you guys. Emery Douglas just walked in. And so so Invisible Venue developed out of a desire to be able to think about artists' ideas and to work with artists without having a space, and also without actually asking anyone for permission. And so mm-hmm. it just developed from there, you know, the project. It's been all kinds of different things. It's been a project space. It's been projects in public spaces. It's been interventions, often with and without permission, sometimes I do projects with institutions, it shapeshifts as the opportunities develop and as artists have ideas to do things.
And, you know, they do say that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, so I like the fact.
I've found that to be true many, many times over the years.
And now I'd like to welcome to our studio Amory Douglas. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your participation in this project at Some Arts. It's called Making a Scene, 50 Years of Alternative Bass Spaces, Various Spaces.
Yes, I was invited to participate, and I will be showing the displaying the embroideries that were done by the Zapatista Mayan Women Collective of my work with interpretations of the work. It's six different embroideries. I was invited there in 2012 by Idello Art Center, which was the art center that was created by Caleb Duarte and Maya Rowe. And so I was there, and while I was there, they had we had artists in residency and went into the out into the Zapatista communities in the jungle and in the forest, and did some painting, and at the same time they had done these amazing interpretations, two different Mayan women collective of my work in the embroideries with their interpretations.
So I'm not understanding. You met with Mayan women. They were familiar with their work, with your work, and then they embroidered it.
Caleb Duarte, Idello Art Center, introduced them to the work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, prior to my coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you think the first time that you heard someone say, "Oh, they're going to be embroidering your stuff"?
Oh, well, I thought it was a great idea. I was very humbly enjoyable about this whole thing. Yeah.
So, what kind of work, or what's the body of your work?
Well, the body of the work, my work is from the 1960s Black Arts Movement into the Black Panther Party.
Oh.
And up until now, doing a lot of social commentary and political context in the work itself.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. You're listening to 89.5 FM, KPOO, San Francisco. Who's touching your mind right now? Melora Green, Christian Frock, and Emery Douglas, all here to talk about Making a Scene, 50 Years of Alternative Bay Area Spaces. And I'm going to ask the both of you, what would you say would have been your first foray into alternative spaces? And you can go as far back or as close as you need to. Why don't we start with Christian?
I'm actually working on a show about this right now, and it mostly has to do with wheat-pasted projects that artists have done. I would also say graffiti is another way of thinking about it for me in terms of forging public space where there wasn't any, mm-hmm. and doing something without permission and being able to do something that has public visibility and is able to engage with people outside of gallery walls. And mm-hmm. so there are many, many artists that I've been influenced by over the years. I actually just read about someone today who cut an album using the computers in the Apple Store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's right up my alley.
I love that.
Yeah, that's definitely that kind of thinking.
So they just went in and said, "Hey, can I just take a look at, I want to try this." I love that.
I think he went every day for a couple of weeks. I'm sorry, I don't know his name.
Oh,
I read about it really briefly.
No, but I love that. Just sort of, oh, la, 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 nothing to see here. Hey, cut a record.
Yeah, that kind of thinking is really attractive to me.
I love that. And Emery, how about you?
Well, it goes back to early days of the Black Panther Party.
Right.
When we used to take the newspapers that we had left over, and we also had posters. And mm-hmm. Early in the morning, before selling newspapers, we would take the old ones and plaster them all over the neighborhood. So that became the public art of the day. Because we would put them on vacant buildings, mm-hmm. on fences and stores, everywhere.
Now, as part of the Black Panther movement, obviously you were probably followed around by people who tried to make it look like they weren't following you around.
And of course.
And, people keeping tabs on you. So did anybody ever try and did anyone have an unusual response to your art that maybe made you say, there's something up with this person? What's your real agenda here? Who are you?
Well, only those who were we were in enlightening people about.
Mm-hmm. but I'm saying that did anyone ever like pull you up and go, now what does this picture represent and what are you trying to say with this, you young upstart?
Not really.
Awesome.
Because it was in the times and most people were enlightened and were looking for alternatives and mm-hmm. Same thing you have going on today with the oppression and what have you existed 50 years ago. So young people were and most people were looking for alternatives and trying to get involved in something to go about making change.
Excellent, excellent. So for the embroidery, what would be a piece? Is there a piece among the embroidery where we would go, wow, I didn't, something that people would go, oh, yeah, I recognize that?
Well,
for people who go back, go back in the day, like say Terry.
Well, from those who have seen them, you get many of those types of responses, expressions of appreciation for how the work has been remixed and recreated and interpreted, yes.
Excellent, excellent. So, Melora, how many different components are, and how long is the show going to go?
Well, the show, so I'll give you just quick details. The opening is on this Thursday from 6 till 9 p.m. That's July the 9th. And the show ends on August the 20th. But I always say it doesn't end there because we have an amazing connection with Elizabeth Travel Flight. And we've created a web portal for people to not only, enter the space of the exhibition and contribute the knowledge that they have, but post that, they'll still have that avenue to, just keep this show alive. So we call it a living documentation, a living collective memory. So the last day is August the 20th. And I have to say this. You mentioned earlier about alternative spaces that have, made an impact. And I have to say Ave Montague's name, who was my mentor and the founder and executive director of the San Francisco Black Film Festival. And that was the first experience that I had to an alternative space and just what she contributed to, African-American stories and cinema. I could not say her name, Because with time we forget people, and that's another point of this show is to really make sure we honor and remember and pay homage to people who have gone on, even though they've done this work,
Yes, true that. And Christian, before you arrived, Christian said she was very excited about meeting you. So, Christian, why were you so excited?
Oh, gosh, now I'm getting all flustered. I can't remember now, but he's sitting next to me. I'm very excited to meet Emory Douglas because Emory's work is so much about the power of images, how images can create movement and build coalitions and communities within people and how mm-hmm. images can actually impact change. And a lot of my work is about images. A lot of my work is about different types of media, social media, and the internet and experimenting with getting images and information out there in different ways. And that's all preceded by the types of ideas that he was experimenting with in the newspaper, the Black Panther newspaper.
And when were you first exposed to Mr. Douglas's work?
Art school. Do I have to give a date?
That's no, you don't have to give a date, but you said you had gone to art school.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask that is because I know as artists, when people are sort of doing their own thing, you're not really aware of the impact that you have on other people. You're just doing your thing. And so I personally think it's nice to for someone like you to hear someone like her say, I know about your work, just because we're oh, yeah. all in our own little heads, and it's just nice to get that sort of external, like, hey, I saw your work and it made an impact.
Well, so. There's a million of me. There's millions of me
excellent.
Who are feeling the same way about
excellent.
You.
So will you both be at the show on the big opening night?
Yeah, I will be.
Yes. Unfortunately, I had an agreement to another engagement that I have to go to.
But you'll
oh yeah,
like slide sure. through. Awesome, yeah. awesome, awesome.
And Marilyn, can I just mention Please. Briefly? So the way Invisible Venue works is I'm always working in collaboration with someone. Mm-hmm. I'm the invisible part of the collaboration usually, and so
you're so present right now.
Yeah, I am, but still invisible to okay. you out there in radio
land. Oh, that's
right,
it's radio. Yeah, we're all invisible.
Yeah. So the artist who's partnering with me to produce a project for this exhibition is Tarane Hamame. It's an amazing San Francisco artist, and we've actually worked together in the past. This is a new iteration of a project that she did with me out at the Thoreau Center a few years ago, working with Emergency USA, and it's an amazing project that has a very poignant commentary on gun violence, which is something that's a running thread in my interest and in my work, and Tarane's project is the work that will be representing Invisible Venue in the exhibition.
Excellent, excellent. And we have a question for you. When you were first doing your artwork, who were some of your inspirations?
Well, my inspirations as a youngster at the time is when I used to see this calendar that my auntie used to get every year as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it was of Charles White's artwork.
Okay.
And I was exposed to that work through the fact that she used to get this calendar every year that would have his work.
And what kind of work did he do?
What he do is African-American activist artist, very socially conscious artist.
Uh-huh.
He was married at one time to Elizabeth Catlett in the early days.
Okay.
And so he was very aware of a lot of social issues, did a lot of mural painting
uh-huh.
and what have you. I found out this later on. But also, I was inspired by the movement art, really, the art that came out of Cuba, by OSPAL, Organization of Solidarity with People from Asia, Africa, and Latin mm-hmm. America, out the Palestinian posters during the 50s and 60s, and the work that was coming from the Vietnamese artists around the resistance movement
mm-hmm.
during that time, and a lot of work that was being going on here in this country as well.
Excellent, excellent. So, Melora, is there anything
yes.
that we have left out of the conversation that we need to make our audience aware of?
You know, I could really do a roll call of all of the artists that are in the show. I think it would take a very long time to do. But we have so many partners and so many organizations and artists who have really been so giving of their history and their contribution. And I, in particular, just want to just thank all of the artists and anyone who has contributed information. And just to reiterate, you know, this show is really important. And if you connect with an alternative space, you know, please come on down, enjoy the work, and contribute, and, you know, take part in the collective memory. This is the perfect time to do this. As we're, you know, going more into a digital world, it's time to take the analog into that space so that the full story can be told about what has happened in not just San Francisco. That's one thing I want to bring context to. It's not just San Francisco. It is for the Bay Area at large. And so the details are, again, this Thursday, July the 9th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., we will have performances by Annie Sprinkle, Madison Young, Soul Nubian, and more. And then also we have Nightlight, a multimedia garden party, which takes place on July the 18th. And that will, doors open at 8:30, and it will be from 9 p.m. performances till midnight. And that we take over the entire building and do what I call wake up the walls. So you have art that stays on the wall that people can look at and observe, but this event brings the movement and brings the edification of what this show is about. And so come to be entertained and involved and inclusive and meet someone new and just, you know, break your own bubble and let's just connect as a community.
And tell our listening audience where they can go online to find out more about the show.
Gotcha. You can go right to soulmarts.org. That's SOMARTS.org. And it'll be /making a scene. And if you can't remember any of that, just go to soulmarts.org. And yeah, that's it.
Okay, and Christian, if people want to find out more about your art and what you're doing and where you're going to be?
My work is archived on invisiblevenue.com and visiblealternative.com.
Okay, and Emery, if people want to find out about your body of work and where they can see you and when and what you're doing?
Well, basically, Google my name and they'll find it online.
Okay, yeah. So I want to thank Emery Douglas, Christian Frock, and Melora Green. And Melora is one of our DJs as well, so it's always exciting when I get to talk to one of the DJs. And I mean, not that it's not exciting to talk to you guys, but, you know, it's additionally exciting because, you know, we're
sure.
All friends here. All right.
I see you. And just really quickly, I'm sorry, I just want to say a special
right.
Thank you also to the other two curators. I would not be able to do this without them, and that is Rula and Sandra Ramirez. Thank you both so much. And also Matt, who's our lead installer. I had to say that because I can't take this credit on my own.
All right. Okay. Well, I want to thank all three of you and for our listening audience. That's Making a Scene, 50 years of Alternative Bay Area Spaces, opening this Thursday. Thank you all.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, people of Earth, that's something to do. There is so much to do in this world that if you're not doing something, you are just willfully not doing it, because there's all kinds of stuff that's going on here in the city. There's all kinds of free things. There's all kinds of venues that you can go to. You don't need a whole lot of money or anything like that. You just need to want to enjoy your life, and I want you to enjoy your life, so why don't you? And in fact, I want you to enjoy this music. I'm going to touch your mind with music. This, my friend, is another Donny Hathaway. It is What's Going On.